So, the last talk of the afternoon, the day. And I want to share about the importance of choice and agency. These eight worldly winds, these eight worldly conditions, constant movement, slow movement, fast movement. Abrupt movements, things we aren't expecting, things we are expecting, anticipating, all of it happening at the same time. And we have these experiences, and we each have our own experiences of these experiences. And it can feel like we don't have choice with all these things happening. Big things, sometimes even small things, we feel we don't have a choice. But the important thing to remember is that we do. We have choice and agency in any transition. It may feel like we don't, especially when we feel that the change that is happening should not be happening. This should not be, especially at this moment, in this time in our lives. And that may be very true. However, we still have choice. We still have agency. The actual change or the thing that we feel that really isn't right, it can feel like an imposition, and often it is. However, we still have choice. You still have agency. Actually, how would you feel if I said we had unlimited choice and unlimited agency? Pretty wild, hey? Yeah. Well, when our view of change is oriented towards possibility versus limitation, and when we're not being governed by our expectations and our wants, which are limited. I want it this way. That's a limitation. Each moment contains the potential of choice and our agency to choose if we're open to possibility versus restricted by our expectations. It should be like this is an expectation. We always have choice in how we relate to our conditions. It's just a relatedness. There is freedom in how we choose to relate to our conditions. I mentioned this morning that I stutter. And there's some of you who know me online and here in the hall, and you know bits of this story about my stutter. But I want to share a little bit more, I think, fully, especially as it relates to choice and agency. Mindfulness and practicing the Dhamma has created a completely different relationship between me and my stuttering. Completely, I would have never imagined the relationship that I have with my stuttering. My initial relationship with my stuttering was very limited. Frankly, the option was to not stutter. That was it. However, I stuttered. My stuttering has changed over my lifetime. I started stuttering when I was in grade one, and I'm very far behind grade one, past grade one. And it's been ups and downs. It's been very noticeable, if you will, and then other times not so noticeable. And this happens throughout the day. It happens in a sentence. It just whatever is what it is. But my relationship with it was that I hated it. I'm not mixing any words here. I hated it. Okay. I didn't want it. I pushed it away whenever it showed up. So think about this for a moment. Stuttering for me is one of my conditions. And I had a lot of aversion to it, a ton of aversion. And I had expectations about how people would treat me and think about me when they heard me stutter. I grasped and I clung at moments of not stuttering. Like, that's what I wanted. I wanted to not stutter. And when I had moments like now of not stuttering, it's like, yeah, this is it. This is what I want, you know. However, so my only choice that I chose for myself was not stuttering, but that's not who I was. In the stuttering world, when a person who stutters is not stuttering, that's called fluency. And stuttering, during an act of stuttering, that's called disfluency. So I clung to being fluent, and I was averse to being disfluent. I also knew what people would think about me if they heard me stutter. So I hid my stuttering, and I hid myself as much as I could. Hiding one's stutter is called being a covert stutterer, and that's what I was for many, many years. I had lots of strategies, I had lots of ways to not overtly stutter. I did many things. This happens with children. If any of you know children who stutter, or you are a school teacher and you're in an actual classroom and students stutter, and you ask students to like read like for you what to read, whatever one section, and then with the next student, and then the next student, the next student, the student who stutters is like frantic. Because they have counted how many people are before them, and they are counting how many sentences down, and they're looking at their sentence, and they are shivering. And they will generally say, can I go to the bathroom? And that's what they do to get out of it. So many tricks, so many tricks. And so with this is what I did. Do you see the suffering that I was going through? Thank you for acknowledging my suffering. Do you see the control I was trying to get in a condition that I can't control? Do you see my limited expectations that I had for myself? And do you see how I was projecting my expectations and my thoughts about me on other people? A lot of stuff, a lot of weight going on about something that it just is. And for many years, I didn't see this, didn't see it at all, because my choice was to not stutter. So all of these other things, didn't see them. I was fully immersed in my delusion of not stuttering. During this time of my life, if anyone would have said, but Sean, do you really know what other people are thinking about your stuttering? I would agree. I would say, true. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I know. Do you hear that? And I would say this with total sincerity. You know, no, I don't know. But damn it, I'm pretty sure, you know. And I can laugh about this now. Absolutely. Thank goodness I can laugh about this now. But then it was very painful. There were years of suffering and comparing and judging and trying to fix something that was just unfixable. My external conditions were not very helpful. And what I mean by that is some forms of speech therapy, which I was a part of, related to stuttering in a not very supportive way, not very accepting of stuttering, meaning that sometimes the strategies were aimed at fixing the stuttering or reducing the stuttering versus accepting the stuttering. So But there were messages that I was receiving that stuttering was not allowable. I was receiving strong messages that stuttering should not be. People did, you know, kind of look at me kind of weird because stuttering isn't something that one would expect. And then you hear these sounds that you can't quite make sense of. And you're like, and you start to see and you start to realize like, oh yeah, this isn't acceptable, you know. So I wasn't alone in my dislike of stuttering and wanting it to actually change. During this time in my life, I was totally devoid of choice and I didn't have agency. I was stuck. I was stuck in these swirling winds and I was being bounced about trying to change it, always trying to change it, always trying to fix it. Stuttering was what was being offered, and I was desperately grasping for a different condition. And I was clinging to the condition that wasn't being offered. Each stuttering event for me was just this mixture and this froth of clinging, aversion, comparing, fixing, and the projections. It was a lot. With little agency. But in this body of work that we're sharing with you today, agency is available. And the way that it is defined in this body of work, agency is the ability to affect ourselves and our others and our situation. Agency in this body of work is your ability to feel that you can participate in the unfolding of your life. You are an active participant in how your life is unfolding, however the unfolding happens. Agency in this body of work is your capacity to influence your own thoughts and your behaviors. It's the ability to act to produce a particular result. Do we get the result? Not necessarily, because there's always change. However, through agency, we are being active. We're not being held down. We're not being limited. We have the choice around how we are relating to our lives in a very, very active way, and that's an empowering way. And so what I was sharing with you about my life and about stuttering, I didn't have any agency. I wasn't active. I wasn't active until I truly sat in the present moment and the felt sense of stuttering. In the moment of stuttering. It was really hard to do because that was something that I didn't want to happen. But through practice of being in the moment, being with my breath, being with Sophie, just practicing practice in general, I was able to, and I remember the moment very vividly. I remember stuttering and feeling the stutter, sensing the stutter, and thinking, I'm actually going to let this happen. It was unfolding, and I was aware of it. I didn't like it, but I was aware that it was happening, and I was aware that I wasn't stopping it. I was in choice at that moment. There was a felt sense of stuttering, and instead, I was feeling it and sensing it instead of pushing and clinging. There was a difference. So also what I noticed in the moment of stuttering, and I can truly say that in a moment of stuttering, I absolutely do not know what the other person is thinking. And I remember when I thought that, I was like, I really don't know. My expectations before were, I'm going to back up a second. My thinking about others before was my expectation. But in the moment of stuttering, I didn't have expectations because I was sensing, I was feeling. So I was actually, I would say, it's kind of shocked about this actual opening. And in the very moment that I didn't know, and I knew that I didn't know what the other, you know, this person was thinking, this means that there's an unlimited number of thoughts that they could be thinking. And one of which is that they weren't even thinking about me. They may have been thinking about what they were getting ready to have for lunch. They were like, you know, here I am talking and their mind is off of it, and I'm thinking, oh, they're thinking these things about me. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. For sure, I don't know. So when I'm in the moment, in the felt sense of stuttering, I'm neither clinging nor pushing, and I'm choosing to feel what is happening. As I feel the moment, this is where I have choice. I have agency. I have agency to choose. I have agency to choose if I choose a strategy of hiding my stutter if I want. And that's okay. Because the situation that I'm in, it may be best for me at that time to hide my stuttering. But that's a choice I'm making in the moment, not before the moment. And so there's choice in there, and there's agency for me to do what is best for me in that moment. And that's active discernment of choice instead of aversion, which is different from judgment. The energy and the intention for discernment is different from the energy and the intention of judgment. So I feel empowered to choose. And I feel this is unlimited because each time I stutter, the conditions are different. And therefore, it is empowering to be in a moment of choice. That's when we have agency. It feels a little contradictory, maybe. But the felt sense offers us, it orients us towards possibility. And we start dropping or releasing or letting loose of our expectations. So this experience that I was having, this new perspective, and the relationship with my stuttering, it came through a lot of practice. And it came through a lot of suffering. Suffering that I didn't recognize first. And then suffering, I slowly began to see, slowly, like, oh, this not wanting to stutter, it's not working for me. It's making things worse. I don't get blown about as much now. I relate very differently, with more ease. I stutter, it's difficult, but not stuttering is no longer a goal. Stuttering is being offered, and it's one of the conditions that I experience. Not stuttering, for me, is not being offered. Even if I don't externally show signs of stuttering, I experience the conditions of stuttering internally. And what I mean by that is that stuttering alters how I relate to people. It alters how friendly I might appear. It alters how I experience my life. So even if I never stutter if I never outwardly stutter for the rest of my life, internally, there are things that are happening because I am someone who actually stutters, and I experience my life in that way. Right now, and I'm very lucky, I work with a speech therapist whose approach is called speaking freely. And he happens to be a Buddhist practitioner. And it's pretty cool. We have these amazing conversations about awareness and about being and about choice, about aversion, about clinging, about the hindrances. I actually, a few years ago, did a podcast about my stuttering and hindrances. Stuttering for me now has become a place where I practice. And I practice this practice. This practice brought me in right relationship with my stuttering, something I never thought would actually be. And with this practice, I became a tree that's bending in the wind versus being broken or being not even wanting wind or not even realizing that the actual wind is there. So I thank you for listening to my story, and let's just sit for a moment, let the words wash over you, releasing some that don't work and maybe resonating with others. Let's have a moment.